Cliff Harrison, interviewer Janet Gregan, about Lake Galliard and the Water Company property, April 30th, 1980. I have another tape in
there. Yeah, that was a Charles Harrison, right? Yeah. And he used it as a summer home.
No, he lived there.
Year round.
Yeah. Because that was regular house. Mm.
He was Blanche Stone was his daughter. She probably died just before you came.
Yeah, because I don't remember any time ago. Someone told me that it was a nursing home for a while. Or
it was.
Well, it was, yes.
Right, it was. Yeah. I think Papa bought it.
Mm-hmm. And when they bought it, it became a restaurant? I think so.
It was only a short time.
Yeah, very short.
I don't forget how many years, but it wasn't real long.
No.
Of course, it wasn't really a building equipped for anything like that. It wasn't laid out for that time. It was more of a home than anything else.
Well, originally, I assume it was a tavern. It was built as a tavern. It's
exactly.
A very wide front hall.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
Upstairs and down.
Mm.
Because that's way beyond my day. That was
right. Oh, yeah. Now that was
in
early
the
1800s.
1800s.
Mm-hmm. Well, that and the Mary O'Dell's house,
mm-hmm.
That's one of the first houses too, isn't it?
Right.
Years, whatever years.
Yeah, it's one of
the... No, Aubrey's is another
one. Oh, yes.
Aubrey's is another one.
This house is an old spring chicken.
Well, this is 1840, probably.
Yeah. I think I tracked this one down pretty well. I haven't got the sheet with me, but I'm pretty sure it was built by a Jasper Monroe. You know, it was sold to Dr. Beatty. And he was driven around about 1845. I tried to do the houses on Knott Street as well as I could. I had a terrible time with Ruth Arnold's house.
Oh?
Here it has this big sign on it, you know, and it says Hezekiah Reynolds, 1760. And I thought, oh boy, this is going to be an easy one to do. So it was the first one I started with. And the problem was, I found a Hezekiah Reynolds, but he didn't live in town until about 1785. So I thought, well, he couldn't have built the house then. So then I started going back through the land records. And I got nowhere. And then I started from when Ruth Beers owned it and tried to go backwards, you know, through the land records. But evidently there was a time when...
recorded or something?
They were all recorded. All the land is recorded. That's one thing. Land is recorded. The houses are called for all. Well, you don't think the land is recorded, but every once in a while, I mean, the only way you know a house is on it is if the deed says with a house.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And so this is the way we track it back. Well, I spent hours and hours over in Brantford on it, and I finally came up with it was built by Hezekiah Reynolds, but it wasn't built until about 1786. But, oh, what a time that was.
Oh, hi, I said Benny Griffith. After the father, after my stepfather died, stepfather was setting up estates, which would have been my own father. So, Cliff and I was going to pick some land over a new baby. And, you know, Borders had his dream height over
there. Oh, yeah.
And we can't find it. We've given up. We've paid taxes all this time, and we've just thrown our hands up. Well, anyway, my brother, he spent hours going to the Guilford County Clerk's Office. It was sold in 1927, when his family bought it. And it wasn't posted or
recorded
until 1933.
Yeah. I've come across that a lot.
Did you hear
that? Yeah. Oh yeah, that's been sometimes when it's been 10 to 15 years between the time a property was bought and the time it was recorded.
And then it quit sale. But the map and everything is to Arthur Dudley, my own father. Yeah. And we've had, we've gone through, I don't know how much. And we quit paying taxes. I guess we're paying taxes if we
you
don't
mean that acreage around Greenmore Lake there?
Well, it's this side of Greenmore. It's over and back.
It's west of Green Lake, and it's above, there's two, well, probably more now, there's at least two houses in there. And this is
all
supposed to be beyond, opposite them, in that area.
Mm,
but you couldn't get anybody, now the state owned the back of it.
Mm-hmm.
I even called the state engineer and asked him if they'd come down and show us where, you know, where to start.
Right.
And you can't do anything with them, and the slick man of Guilford and the assessors, and I don't know how they can assess a piece without going on for it.
So I don't know either. I don't know. That to me sounds very strange if it's that much. If it was a 1 or 2 acre piece, I could understand it. 16 acres?
16 acres more or less, but I think our deed, I think it's been cut down to the,
Eight. Around 8. Mm. It was all there. It said 16. Mm. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah. Oh,
that's
too bad. I know there's acreage here in North Brantford that doesn't belong to anybody.
Yeah.
We bought some land over from 22 up above Robin Lane, you know, somewhere in the market. And there's two pieces up on the hill between us and Clackoff or the water company, whatever owns, that nobody claims. But you can't reach them. I mean, you know, they're in such a position that you can't get up the ridge to them. And
well, you see, well, this land is, you know, it's off the beaten.
Well, of course, when they started to survey for the water company, the dam right here, and, of course, they went through and they surveyed. They had it all laid out so they knew just how many gallons of water they'd put in that thing. And yeah, surveyors used to come get my dad to go up with him and show him acreage on the mountain that they couldn't find any owners or anybody else. Nobody knew where they were. And people that did own the land up there, they didn't know where to find it.
Right.
But he knew all the acreage and also, we used to cut a lot of these buoy poles for the oystermen. In those days, they used to take these hemlock poles about this big around, and they'd flatten them a little bit and put holes in them, put a rope through and tie a stone on them, and they stuck up in to mark their oyster rooms. And they also used stakes, hickory stakes, that you stuck them in the mud.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to cut those things all over the place, and get them out. And carried well from Stony Creek clear down to Milford, all the oystermen all around. But
your father was who? Albert?
No.
Somebody told me, I think it was Chris over here, that the Harrisons were lumbermen,
yes,
and builders. Is that true?
Well, we was, as I say, we got out a lot of poles and we used to get out hay. And I used to live in hay in New Haven about every couple of weeks. And we had cows and horses and wood. We had an awful lot of wood. That was very easy.
That went to New Haven.
Take a cord of wood in New Haven, we got $14 for it. And so we was doing pretty good.
Sounds good.
You get $114.
This is a reproduction of the map that was in Beer's Atlas. It's an old map. I don't know whether you can see it or not. Is it too small?
This is Lake Gillard.
No, the lake's over right in here. This is Sea Hill Road. Here's the school up here.
Well, this isn't the lake.
No, that's
it's
the right shape, right?
Designed.
No, this is before the lake went in.
Oh, yeah.
Sam. So here's Tutucket Mountain.
Yeah.
Okay. And this is Sea Hill right here.
Yeah.
And the lake would be in here.
That's right.
Where did you live when you, do you know?
Let's see. North Street.
North
Sea Hill Road. This North Street.
North Street comes up in here. So
yeah. that would come out through me. This must be the brook, isn't it?
Yes, that's the brook.
This is the little, what they call the Goshen Barn, I think it would be. That was just over northeast of here. Of course, the lake was way up in there, though. And our place was, it was way up for, this is John Rhodes. And the next one was...
It's a Harrison, I think. That's a Harrison. See, this dates back to 1868, you know.
Yeah, so. This is almost right
here. Yeah. Oh, that's where you lived, way up there.
Yep.
And so that's really under the lake now, isn't it?
No, this little brook here, this was my Uncle Roy's place, John Rhodes. And there was a Polish people here. Now the bridge is across where they used to be the mill in here.
Yes,
Then we was up here, and this was Ford Griswold's. This was made before, I think before Nate built his house, my brother Nate.
Yes, it would have been.
And that's, his house is now over on Sea Hill Road. They moved it.
Not Sea Hill Road, Beach Street.
The Beach Street, yeah.
Yeah, where Cavaliers live, right?
Huh?
Where Cavaliers live?
I don't know who does live there.
No. Yeah, somebody told me that was where Cavaliers lived. That was a relatively new house. I mean, when I say new, 1920 or something?
Yeah. I guess it was the early 20s.
Were any of the other houses saved at all?
This road goes across here. There was, Jackson and Reed owned a house, two bedroom places down on this place, what was called the Rose Place.
Right, that's it, right there.
And that took an awful big area in there. And it also took what the Beach Corner School, that property up there, that was all Rose property.
It was, huh?
But one of the houses that Reed's lived in, that, as I understand, was taken down and shipped to Texas.
Oh, really?
That was one of the old salt boxes, like Obie's down here at that time. But the rest of them, because they used the when it was up here, Cole's place. This was Gilbert's up here. And that was used for boathouse. That's going now, too.
Just up above the dam.
Yeah. I'd say that just above this little road across here. Yeah.
On all the old deeds or old records, they keep referring to Sibby's Hill. And we've been trying to figure out where Sibby's Hill was. Have you ever heard of all Sibby's Hill?
No, I was looking through a lot of old deeds and stuff we had. No, I never run across that.
The Livingstons and I tried to finally figure it out. It must have been the hill that's now between the two dams. You know, there's that big hill between the...
No,
over here, you know, but there's two dams on the lake. There's that little earthen one, and then there's a big dam.
Well, there's the spillway.
Spillway, is that what they call it?
Yes.
That was, I think they call that the Jacob Page Swamp.
Jacob Page Swamp?
Yeah, where the spillway is.
Yeah.
Of course, that was only just a small, that's only just a smit core through there, anyway. It's filling on both sides.
Well, it's been coming over for spring.
Well, we've had so much.
It's coming over now.
Yes, it is.
Is that what the runoff that I hear here?
Yes. That's coming from the spillway.
Normally,
it comes down through and into the brook over across.
Well, that must have been a big project, building that dam.
Oh, boy, the watch.
You know, I think it's a shame that you can't go up there anymore. Well, and it's just because the high school kids are thieves.
Right. No, I understand.
I used to walk our dog. I used to walk there almost every day. What? That Dutch or something. And they just had to lock it up. A boy and a girl got through this a little while ago. They climbed the fence.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It doesn't keep them out.
People don't believe in signs.
It doesn't keep them out.
Well, we took that, remember the land trust had that wagon ride around?
Yes.
So we went on it. And as we went around the lake, we saw several people, you know, walking through, either came over the mountain somehow on the other side, or
something.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we tapped maple trees up there.
I know it. They were all tapping when we went on that ride. That was fascinating. Especially with all those tubings now. That was the first time I'd ever seen that.
But you know, somebody went and cut the tubing and took 25 feet of it.
Oh,
yes. And we lost, what was it, 45 spigots?
Yeah.
47
41.
Spigots.
41
oh,
spigots.
I can't believe.
Yeah. Four or five pails, they punched holes for them.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
No, I went up there one day, and as you go down the hill before, I don't know if you remember when I crossed the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
On that hill, they took down 27 pails, pulled them off the trees, and took the little spouts, the colors and everything were left there, and took the spouts, and I don't know whether they threw them in the bushes or what happened to them. That's, you just, you know, you don't see any reason for it. But,
I don't know, they don't seem to have any respect for property anymore.
No.
When they built the dam, somebody said that they laid a railroad. Did they?
Mm-hmm.
Railroad come from over down the shopping center. Well, this side, the underpass, they put a spur up in above there, and it followed the mountain right along and right up. What they figured to get all the sand they were going to use in, well, it's up in the area where that little pond is,
mm-hmm.
and inside the lake. But that's where the railroad went up through, because they had all kinds of stuff come in.
Mm.
And
where did it come from? The shore, or where did that?
Well, they brought it up from the track route.
Uh-huh.
So they put in a spur track,
mm-hmm.
and went right around and up through Great Hill Street.
Mm.
I guess you can't even see any place at all now, but it was all down in the woods away from the road. Swung right around right at the end of the dam.
Hmm. Well, that must have been something.
Mm.
How many houses do you know were up there that they lost?
Well, starting from here, not counting this, the first one was Colgy's. That was taken and used for the boathouse. Then the next one was Gilbert's. This is all on North Street. And they went up the hill. Well, there was a small shanty where one of the hired help lived between there. And my Uncle John's place was up on the top of the hill. Remember seeing a stone building up there? Well, that was his place.
That was an ice house.
That's what someone said. It was
his ice house.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, the old road went straight out to the schoolhouse.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But now it cuts back in, so I won't mention that. That is on another road now entirely anyway. And then the next one, there was a Polish family on the hill, Mailbox Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And that was on the left. Then my Uncle Roy Harrison, he was right, as you turn to go down the hill across the bridge. And of course the mill was there, the bridge, and that was a mill pond there, dam and everything. And they had water power, that was a water power place there. Yeah. And then you go on top of the hill, and there was a Polish family lived there. I guess everything now is all gone. When they had the mill up there, they destroyed everything. And then the roads fork. The old road goes down right in the lake, and the new road goes right along on the higher elevation. Mm-hmm. And then there was another Polish family lived on the right-hand side. And my brother Nate lived on the left-hand side, just maybe a couple hundred feet above that. And that house is the one over here on Beach Street. And then there was our house.
We left out Floyd's.
And, well, Floyd's was next.
Oh,
Floyd's was above us.
Oh, that's right.
You know, where the old big white wood tree stands out all by itself. Yep. That was Floyd's place.
Is that down, you can see what, the tree is still there?
Yeah.
Yeah, that big, that great big tree
big,
that's so beautiful.
Yeah. And,
well, what about the low place?
Well, that was, of course, I remember it, but that was coming down, you know, destroyed before the water cup came out, not there. And then there's still a couple of cellar holes up beyond that, way up in the woods.
I think that my kids have been up there. Someday I'm going to take a walk up there and see, because they keep telling me there's something up there.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll ask Otto if I can walk up there, you know, so I don't get into any trouble.
Yeah, well, if you get permission, of course, we have permission to go up and gather sap and so forth. But no, the high school kids, they'd come up before school in the morning. And they had parties up in the parking lot. And got drunk. Well, we think there was drugs because a certain truck, there was a panel body, used to come up every day, didn't it, Rick, about such
right
a time.
Every day, sometimes two, three times a day.
About such a time. It was very suspicious.
Then there'd be two, three cars and kids come up.
Yeah, it does sound suspicious.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, over on the other street, I don't know if I remember all the places over there or not, but anyway, the across where the, yes, you lived over this.
What do you mean?
In what was the old Sheppy house. They moved that down. Well, of course, Fred.
Where David Hall used to live?
Yeah. Of course, another one on here was my brother Fred's house. That's the one that the caretaker lives in. That was
okay.
not in the lake, but just on the edge of it. And they moved that across over where it is.
But that was built when? Maybe 1910,
1915,
perhaps? No,
it was built 19,
probably near
1920. 20,
probably.
Well, it must have been the 20s.
Yes, it wasn't the
20s. It wasn't built very long when the water company
got
built.
No.
Then on Great Hill Road, or street, or whatever it is, there's, as you call, the Sheppy House.
Yeah.
The water company owns it now, and they rent it. And then there's another one next to it.
Well, that was the old Atlet place.
Okay.
Coming down, would be towards the center from the Sheppy
yeah.
House.
Yeah.
Okay, it was an older house then.
Yeah.
Okay, that's on our survey, because
yeah.
I've done that.
Of course, they had a big barn across the street from it.
Mm.
And then you went up further, and Blanche and Frank Stone, they had a small house. And then there was what they call the old Hass Barker place. That was a big place. The house was across the road, and the barns, they had all the barns just stretched out, sheds and everything else. And that burned up. We figured it was going to burn anyway, because after the water company took it.
Was he the one that didn't take care of his animals and all that?
No, that was over Hassie over.
Oh.
Over on Chihill Road.
Oh.
But anyway, then there was the Aspacher place. Then the Sheppy house that they moved down. And then there was Aronson's. Seems like there was another one.
Well, what about
Johnson's.
Reed? What about Reed's?
Well, Reed's was on the crossroad.
Oh.
Reed's and Jackson was on the crossroad, the little crossroad that
mm-hmm.
was across there.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And
Gilbert?
No, Gilbert's was on this road. He was on the corner. See, this street went up from here, went right straight up through the end of the dam, and by where the boathouse was. And then when they got over, just about where the lake they have the spillway, where it kind of narrows in,
mm-hmm.
then there was a sharp corner, almost like a square,
mm-hmm.
went up, and Gilbert's lived on that corner.
I'm following on the map here. Okay. But that road never went up over, any way over the mountain to Northwood or anything?
Oh, they used to go across once in a while.
You could get across there.
We used to go across the old Model T's.
Okay. Pretty good, I guess.
The only trouble was, you could go up on top of the mountain all right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I've been all over that mountain with the old Model T, but there was a place up there, there's a swamp on top of the mountain. And the problem was when you get up here, then you had to go through that swamp. And then you could be down the other side. Of course, now they fixed it so that they go across.
I guess there's a road across now, isn't there?
Well, it's
not too good.
You wouldn't want to go with a
good car.
With a Cadillac, I don't think.
But it really wasn't used
no.
to get over there.
No.
I was trying to figure out if there ever was any other way to get to Northwood, other than, you know, going around.
No,
no,
well, the horse and buggy, they used to go that way, so that was...
Which had to go through the swamp.
Oh, well, the horse didn't care about that.
How did the people feel about when the water company came in? Were they upset, or...?
Well, I didn't feel too good about it. I wish they had.
Always been like that. He's missed
the. Kept out of here. we had good land. It was good, you know, land to work, and we had a track with about 1,000 maple trees, and we'd cut the wood all out, thin them out, had those shavers. Weren't big enough at that time, but there was a nice stand of them. But everything was in, they cleaned everything out. I mean, boy, I hate to see them cut those maple trees.
I bet you did.
Well, it was Fred and John Harrison that went to court with it, didn't they?
Yeah. Well, you see what they did? They bought the Rose place. That was a big area.
Mm-hmm.
Then they bought the Ed Cole's place, which was a boathouse.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, their land was all right in there, just right in the basin.
Mm-hmm.
And so it gave them a certain percentage of the acreage that they needed.
So
then they could do that.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Is that how they work?
Yeah.
I wondered, my, you know.
Yeah.
I wondered. Did it make much difference to the town? I mean,
the dude. Well, my family stayed here. Uncle Roy's family all went to Brantford. John's, they all went to Bantam. And, Gilbert's went to Brantford, too. And on the Great Hill Street, I don't know, I think, didn't Johnson's go to New Haven or somewhere? I kind of forgotten where they did go.
I thought Johnson's lived down on the Brantford Road.
Well, I think there's one of them.
Oh.
One of the family. And of course, Aronsons, they went to, well, I guess they went to North Guilford.
Yeah, Bob did.
Bob did anyway.
And Gus lived down North Street.
Yeah, I was going to say, was there any relation to the Aronsons that lived down here?
Yeah,
right
that was another son. The Gus Frank Stone, they.
Well, they finally lived in
with Uncle Al.
Yeah.
What was
he, Charles? Uncle Al?
Yeah.
Charles Alford? Then we'd change in Stony Creek and pick up the Brantford trolley.
Oh, I didn't realize there was another line down that,
yes.
And the shoreline,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Oh, yes. And
of course, this
would
be right through.
It would take us to the center of Brantford. And, of course, she went to see Aunt Kate, the one that brought her up. So we had many right on the track.
Of course, that went right through.
Of course, I'm
right back to the old administration building, right straight down and crossed Notch Hill Road, just this side of the brook. Well, I don't know if you remember where they had the dump. They used to go down to the dump.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that went right straight down to Guilford, right through the woods.
I was trying to figure out in my own mind, you know, where the trolley came. How did it come up? It crossed Twin Lakes Road, and then what did it do? Come up where Route 80 is now and then swing down again?
Well, it went right by the crusher.
Well, Twin Lakes Road, sure. Mm-hmm. And it come up just at the, when you go off Route 80 and you go down that little grade,
mm-hmm.
they come up right through there. And then after you get up, way before you get down to Cooper's gas station. And then it was Route 80, and what's Route 80 now? That was really telling.
That's what I, you know, it's amazing what I've learned about the town doing this, because I was talking to Mr. Queerfeld, and he lives in that little yellow house there.
Yeah.
And he said the trolley went right behind his house. So
then
sure. That's right.
Then I picked up some maps at the town hall. I was doing some work in the planning and zoning, and sure enough, that right-of-way, part of it's still in, not all the way. And I thought, oh, now. But then I was trying to picture in my own mind until somebody told me the old road was up above the Track Rock Bridge is now.
In other words, when you go by the shopping, when you turn into the shopping center,
mm-hmm.
the trolley used to come up under the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
And the old road went over the Great Crossing, over the tracks. That's why they always had to have a flagman. And when they put in Route 80, the flagman had, they had a heck of a time to get it so they could take that flagman off. There's a law in Congress or somewhere that there should be one there, and he used to sit up there wait for the day to go by. And nobody could cross. Posse was going down the other way under the bridge after the road was built. So
he had to sit there even though the road wasn't there anymore.
That's right.
I don't remember that.
Oh sure. Well, they had quite a fuss about it.
And of course, over the crossing, you know, there was those tenement houses that burned.
No, I didn't know that.
You didn't? No, they had an electric fire. And it was right across the,
well, of course, Route 80 went right through. It didn't go down, because, as I say, they followed the trolley line. But Route 80 went this way, right through, and this house was between the two. And Well, when you would buy...
You mean up where Trap Rock is now, part of where Trap Rock is now? There was oh, I didn't realize that.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Yes. Because all your business was done, and the office was on the right-hand side. In fact, there was a house on the right-hand side.
Well, Jeanette Winsley.
And then...
Earl Calder's,
they lived right on the other side, on the left side. Mm-hmm. And they went down, and of course, then it forked off to go to Norfolk. Right, where they, practically where they come out of the yard there now.
Yeah.
I didn't realize the road was that far up. Oh, well, that's interesting.
Yes,
it was.
Mm. You see where those, where you come around the traffic lights, where the Forts Market,
mm-hmm.
with that little place there where it's
mm-hmm.
Fenced off,
mm-hmm.
well, that was the old road.
The original.
We got around. And
sure.
Well, of course, you know, I've come across some funny things, like, where they straightened out, down where Cumberland Farms is now, you know, they straightened out that loop. And there's a little loop where the road goes up, and they call it Maple Road or something.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that, of course, that all belongs to town, that whole island, I mean, to the
yes.
state, that whole island and everything else there, right? Because I was looking at the survey of the road for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to
at one time, North Franklin was one of the fastest growing towns in town.
Well, I was just doing some work with census figures because I'm trying to put together a short history to go along with this report. And I talked to Betty Livingston today because she had a copy of the 1790 census. But of course, then we were part of Branford.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of tried to figure out, you know, because of our work with all the people around that time, you know, which ones lived in North Branford, which ones lived in Branford. And she came up 193 families lived in Branford, and 193 families lived in what was North Branford. Can you imagine it coming out that even?
No.
And there was a population then of about 1,000 people in town.
And that was what,
1790. Then it went up to about 2,000, about 1850 or 60, and then it dropped to about 800. Did it go up as far as 2,000? No, I guess it didn't, but it did go up a little bit. But then it dropped around 1900 because of the, I think mostly because the industry up in Norfolk, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of them folded up and so forth.
Yeah.
Because
yeah. There was a couple of... There's a button factory up here,
right
there.
There's a button factory. Evidently a whole lot of different little factories.
Mm-hmm. Along the river.
Mm-hmm. Gordon Miller's had a lot of research on that in the later years. But then it started to build again. When Trap Rock came in and the water company, and then after World War II, just...
Yeah. Well, of course, the Coulters, you see, they came in.
Mm-hmm.
Trap Rock. And the Weller Hughes folks came in for Trap Rock.
And the Hughes lived right in that little place.
One
the way you turn, you go to the Forts, you know, and one of those houses there.
Yeah, one of the well, Golders did too.
And
Burton Golder.
Burton Golder lived in the house.
And the Beans, that was another family.
Yeah, the Beans
Trap
lived
Rock.
There. And the Earl Golder lived up, right opposite the Trap Rock. The old blacksmith shop.
Mm-hmm. They came on from New York, I think.
The Coulters?
Mm-hmm. So, some of the families.
When did you, I don't mean this to sound funny, but when was there the changeover when you got a lot of Polish and Italian families moving into town? Was that around that time too?
No, later.
Later?
Well, I don't know.
Italians moved out from New Haven. When they, more recent.
Well, of course, we had the Italians and Polish driving team.
Mm-hmm.
But when you were naming these homes up here, you named two or three families that were Polish.
Yeah.
And, well, woodcutters and that sort of thing.
Somebody just told me there was a Polish hall or some sort of
over towards Pages.
Yeah, over by Pages.
Yeah.
And then somebody else said there was an athletic club down here in the center of town, somewhere where the fire station is now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he used to have that thing. Mm-hmm. Well, he used to have a lot of things. They had men's club in the church, and plus they had the, what was the other one? They was all...
It wasn't the Civic Association, was it?
Yeah.
Meg Halder just gave me those record books. And I really have enjoyed reading those.
And they used to run dances. And well, that was another thing. The Civic Society, they used to do all kinds of things. And then they run square dances and like that. And then all of a sudden, some of the people here brought them out, but anyway, come out from New Haven, and boy, they take the girls on the dance floor and swing them around. And
well, they got drunk.
They was half loaded, and they just spoiled it for everybody, so they had to quit. That's why the Civic Society did. I understand.
I wondered because the book that May gave me only goes up to 1935, and Ellsworth Foote was the secretary then. And so I thought, well, maybe, you know, that book was among his stuff. So I called up Ann Floyd, but they haven't gone through his stuff yet.
They haven't?
I guess the will hasn't, you know, the probate or whatever. You know, who knows? These things take time.
Well, of course, what's her name? Richard. No, not Richard. Oh, short one there.
Robert.
He lives there alone.
Yeah, we put that house on the survey. We put some houses that were built after 1900 on the survey, either because they were of particular architectural interest. And somebody told me that was one of the first prefab homes in town.
What?
They had all the pre-cut lumber, and it was all shipped into New Haven, and then they went down and picked it up. And maybe there all is, but that was, you know, some of them.
I'd kind of forgotten. I don't remember.
Say Robbie, he had Thanksgiving for the family, cooked it and everything.
Good for him.
I think that was the first year we had him. It's a shame
when there were people like Alfred and Mrs. Arnold and
Helen. Mm-hmm. I never could believe that Ruth was as old as she was.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't seem it.
An Italian family, that's all I know. I had done the research on that house, you know, inside it and everything before, you know, they bought it, and I haven't gone back since. So I only saw the name on the mailbox, and I don't even know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But somebody told me that they had ripped out all the old plaster in the front rooms. Oh no. That's good.
Did you put paneling in?
Not paneling. I think they just put drywall up. But it did need some work. You know, it was cracking in the past few years, I guess, you know, with Mr. Arnold there. You know, the care wasn't taken up.
No.
Care, you know.
But Ruth kept it up.
Oh, she kept it beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And it really was in good condition because I liked that house. And I took my husband down when it was for sale, and we looked at it very carefully and thought, you know, first of all, it was expensive. And secondly,
yes, it was.
It really, I need a lot of room for office space and work rooms, and everything in that house is wide open, you know. I can't have a junky room like I do in my own house.
Yeah.
And so I just, but
the L wasn't wide open, was it?
No, that was closed, yeah. But,
of course, for years they had the town clerk's office down there.
Yeah, I know. That's Do you ever remember a house behind the store, or was that going before?
Yeah,
Mrs. Hoyer's. That was Jenny Whedon's place. She was, the only thing I can think about her, she always picked up all the little twigs around town. little twigs like that, you know, she hadn't piled up. And I know my dad, of course, he was select man for 10, 11 years. And I've forgotten what happened, but anyway, he was called down there for something. He went in the house, and he said, you'd be surprised. He says, she had piles of matchboxes and, oh, everything stacked. I never had a chance to see it personally.
I'll tell you, when I was growing up, I grew up, between Barrington, Rhode Island and Middletown, Rhode Island, which is on the island by Newport. And my grandfather owned an old house there, and, you know, some of his relatives were around. And when my sister and I were small, we used to take our bicycles, and ride down and visit all these people. Well, there was one family there, the Browns. They saved newspapers. Their entire house was filled with newspapers. They only had these little narrow aisles that you could go through. Oh. And I remember that.
Yeah, it made an impression on you.
That's right.
Was it Mrs. Wheaton that used to get the pots out and wash them on Sunday morning?
No, that was... what the heck do you mean?
That was at the top of the Queer's house.
Yeah, in the Queer Fox house. Lena Ball. Oh, she was a cat. she was always... Well, right when you go by, you would see her out there scrubbing the pots and what have you. And there. Oh, this town has had some character, I'm telling you.
Well,
well, every town.
Men and women.
Yeah. Every town has a few characters. Guilford had a few.
When I was doing the research on Arnold's house, I found that it was owned at one time by a woman. She was a Rose. Her name was Abigail, her maiden name was Abigail Rose, and she married Grocer Monroe, and her second husband was a Clock, a Hezekiah Clock. And she was a daughter of a Jonathan Rose, and he must have been a well-to-do, no, Justice Rose. And he must have been well-to-do, because he had four children, and he kept giving them land and stuff. I mean, I kept finding it in the, you know, land records. But she must have owned quite a bit of land. And when she married the second husband, he must have gotten in trouble or something, because all of a sudden he's being sued by all these people, and all her land goes into Hock to get him out. And he left town. His grave isn't even in town. She's buried in town, but he disappeared. And finally, after he died, the estate was settled. Her children and everything else were able to evidently, you know, get back the estate. I'd like to do some more research on it and find out why, you know, he was being sued for so many things.
And did they think that there was money? And
I don't know. I don't know whether he... the only thing clue that I got was he was... there was something about a merchant company, a company of merchants, that were still he was involved in, and I wondered if he lost money, you know, so he was just went bankrupt, you know, and all this was for bankruptcy.
Well, they had all kinds. I don't remember hearing about it, but
oh, I imagine everything
was before my day.
But you get characters in any town.
Martha Russell talks about another family in her book, about early family that were very well-to-do and well-respected, and the father evidently gambled away all the money and was left with very little. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, I find, you know, from owning a big estate, he finally ended up renting the little house down here by the church. You know that little yellow house? In fact, that was owned by Harrison, and he ended up renting it. The Harrisons, I swear, have owned every house in town at one time or another. Somewhere there's a Harrison. If they're not a Harrison, they're married to one.
Well, I was amazed how many Harrisons. And when you start giving them that pamphlet I gave you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm anxious, because I was trying to work up some kind of a genealogy of my own, you know, because there's so many Harrisons. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think there were three that
but
came here.
But it's before Chris Holtz is. They aren't in there. I think there's another one that follows. If you know where to get it.
Well, then Nathan Harris must be the first one.
Five generations of Connecticut Harrisons. So I don't think they're probably done. When was it done? Yeah, 1916.
Yeah.
So, well, I'm anxious to look through it. But I think there were three Harrisons that I've come across that came to North Bradford. Mm-hmm. There might have been more. But one owned a lot of land down by the center where the old Catholic churches and where the Episcopal churches. That was a John Harrison. Then there was a Samuel Harrison that owned land across from where the library is.
Oh?
Yeah, Samuel Harrison. And then there was a James Harrison somewhere.
Maybe you'll probably find him.
Maybe I'll find him, and this will help me. Eventually, I'd like to be able to in the Historical Society files.
Well, this is really genealogy work in a way, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
My brother's great on genealogy.
Is he?
Yes. Of course, he's done the Dudleys.
I think you get hooked on it, because I never was big until I started going through this stuff. And then you want to know, who these people were. You almost wish you could reach into the grave and pull it out and say, where did you live?
He did a circle. And half the circle is the our fathers, Arthur Dudley and way back. And the other half is the hill. I'm not. It's right in there.
I love that. Are you in relation to Jean Dudley on Cedar Road?
No, probably we'd distant, maybe, but no. Well, Friday Lane figured out that she and I were seventh cousins or something like that. Mm-hmm. Well, she was an auger, and my grandmother, Lucy, who I'm named after, was an auger. And
I think that if you dig that far enough, I think everybody in North Brantford must be related.
Yeah.
Well, I suppose you're only so many come over around the
Mayflower. And I had two auger books. I had our uncle. He was the one that wrote it up, our uncle and my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Brother and sister, they were. And he gave before he died, he gave each of us kids one. And then when my aunt died, I had hers. So I gave, I've got it. It's in the bookcase now. So I gave the auger book to Fidey. She was so tickled. Mm-hmm. And her family's putting up in it. And the augers in Norfolk.
Yes, Helen and Betty have a copy of the auger genealogy.
Oh, they had my auger book.
Oh, they did?
Yeah.
They must have had it copied in something.
I bet they did.
Yeah. Because we have used that, because it had a map in it with houses. And that's what we... Oh, yes, we used it. I mean, because we've done all the houses, in our Francis Market. And, it's really been a big help, because when you get dates of when people lived, you can kind of date the houses. It's, you take a track of back and find out who owned them, but then you...
I like the Livingston paper book.
I bet that's it, because I'm pretty sure it's...
It's quite a thick book.
Yeah, but they must have taken out what they needed and bound it or something.
That's quite a house they got over there. They don't want to change anything.
No, and they say that the upstairs floor, there's cracks in it, and when you sweep it, goes down through.
Well, they have been such a tremendous help. If I didn't have those two women helping me, I could never.
Oh, they know the town, though.
They know the town.
No question about it.
And they're willing to work. They must have put in 200 or 300 hours, working on this.
Yes.
But today I called them up, and they were all upset because a rat had gotten in somehow through the cellar, through those clay walls, and up into their house somehow and eaten all their impatience.
Oh, boy. Oh boy.
So they were tracking down the rat. But their house is unusual. It's like walking into history when you go in.
I was in it just once.
And they love to show it.
Well, they do.
They have beautiful old time improvement. But I've got, shortly, ready to go, I've got a pink duster. There's two plates and there's three cups and saucers, a teapot, and sugar. And the only place that I've seen it is in the Smithsonian Building, George Washington's family. It was built for me. And I drove it. In my world, I drove it to my niece, Barbara, my brother's boy. Mm-hmm. And Doug and Vicki know it. Mm-hmm. I feel that Doug and Vicki will have enough.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's nice to know these things are handed down.
Mm-hmm.
My aunt's the one that's into China.
Oh, I love the old China. And then I got a, I don't know what you call it, probably vegetable dish. It's real old. But that pink luster, I went to a, I went with Edith. It was her half-hour meeting. This woman taught my old China. So I asked her about the pink luster. Oh, she threw up her hand. She says, oh, that's waving on me. I couldn't afford that.
That's always nice. It's like when I took my candlesticks to be appraised and found out how much they were worth. They went, oh.
Well,
oh, well.
I've got my sterling silver right here.
Yeah, I think everybody
has. I said
has.
That the time sterling silver was what it was, I it had at least been close to 10,000. I found a lot of old spoons.
Mm-hmm.
The thin ones.
Oh, yeah, right.
L.E. And L.E.A. Lucy Elizabeth. Oh, and I was Lucy Elizabeth. I prize them.
Of course you do.
I
think
I love anything old. And antiques, the chairs, I love them.
You've got some nice things here.
Well, when we remodel Aubrey's house.
Those prints, Ann Conover and Gilbert said that those prints are worth $100 a piece. That was 7 years ago.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know.
I wouldn't know either.
We last year we had what's her name, Lorraine Smith, come in. She owns the Mason Galleries up in Wallingford, and for the Historical Society, she donated her time to come, and people could bring something, and for a dollar, they could have a very rough appraisal. I mean, you know, she would do the best she could on it. You should see the things people came in with. Some were worth absolutely nothing,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Some were worth a lot of money. You know, we're just surprised.
Sure, sure. Oh, these are definitely. Yes, they are.
Great.
Well, Pa's, this is my stepfather. Pa's mother did the leaves. Filled them in and tended the leaves. And they're old.
Yes.
They're over 100 years old.
What were you going to say about Obie's house?
The woman we modeled that down there was working down there one day. Of course, he had us take the, they had it, different ones, you know, live in there, and they'd throw up through the ceiling and what have you. So we had to take the, rip the ceiling down and clean the floor joists and have them so they could be exposed. Then we put sheetrock between, just up, keep everything, and they came down. Well, she said, hey, that's a big mistake. It shouldn't be that.
We said,
yeah. And I said, well, I said, boy, I said, you look right up through. You know, little white boards. Well, she says, I see them just like that. It cost me a bit dope. I says, how do you, what do you do when you clean the house? I says, oh, well, she says, we sweep upstairs first. Downstairs.
That's beautiful.
If you would have heard him say it.
Oh, boy.
They are. They're, when it comes to old things, they're really fanatics.
Yes.
And they get so exasperated at some of these people, you know, that redo houses. Well, to me, yes, an old house is nice, but part of the charm is that what the families have done that have lived there, because, you know, every age is different. But they want everything very original, and they get very upset. They get very nasty sometimes about people who do a good job on houses.
That's what we did down there. We had to put the thing back to the original way.
That's a nice house.
Boy, we had some really tough going, because some of the paneling, you know, the pieces had, well, just gone, and we had to get out new stuff and stain it and fit and all that, have it milled down the same.
Jules, he's quite a Jules.
I haven't seen him lately. I was thinking that I came by and saw his car there. I thought, well, I haven't seen him.
I can appreciate his kisses.
Oh, dear.
Well, I'm going to get along. And thank you for giving me the time. I really learned a lot.
It was amazing.
I enjoyed it.
I'd like to do more of it. I'd like to get several times at the Fonta Rosa Hill. I was interested in the house. Do you see what they've done to that house on Granger Road?
Pretty much they going down by is, you know, I have to keep my eyes on the road.
Well, you know how bad it was.
Oh, I know.
And this young girl bought it. Her name is Eve Powell, I think. She's from Granger. Mm-hmm. And she came in and she renovated. It's beautiful.
That was a lovely house.
The outside, I guess, is fairly original, you know.
Yes.
But what happened was there were holes in the roof, and the rain had come down, and all the ceilings had fallen down. You should see the holes in the rock. Oh, it was. I only saw the first floor, you know, in the condition it was, and there were big holes in the walls. Why can't people live like that, you know? And they have all that decorative plaster and molding, you know, on the ceiling, and the ceilings were set on the floor.
Wasn't that more Victorian?
Yes, like a Victorian.
Yeah.
And so anyway, what she did was she went in and she's made the top floor into a very contemporary looking apartment. It has iron stairs and, you know, different levels. And very important.